Adventures in Research.
I think it's wonderful, Joseph, wonderful.
Well, at least it's the first water power sawmill in the New World, Martha. Soon there'll be lots of them.
Then there should be a way to protect your invention so folks won't steal it from you.
This is Paul Shannon introducing another in the series of programs dealing with the thrilling adventures to be found in the field of scientific research, as told by the men of science themselves. Today's story by Dr. Phillips Thomas, research engineer of the Westinghouse Research Laboratories, deals with a period of American history long before this country of ours was welded into a union of states, before there was even a president. In the village of Lynn, Massachusetts, in the colonial year of 1646, an iron worker named Joseph Jenks returns home after a hard day's work.
You look so tired, Joseph. I'm sure you're working much too hard. Here, lie down here. Supper will be ready in a minute or two.
Yes, it has been a hard day, Martha.
Seems to me that you don't have to wear yourselves out in order to get the ironwork started, do you?
Martha, when John Winthrop, the governor's son, brought us over from England to this new world, our job was to start a new industry, establish an ironworks.
But that was 4 years ago, Joseph. It's established now. Can't you slacken off just a bit? No need to kill yourself, is there?
All right, Martha, all right.
Let some of the others who came with us do some of the work. Don't try to do it all yourself.
Oh, you women. Never will understand that a craftsman's work is not to be done lightly. That others have to be taught the right way to do things. And that takes time and work. Hard work.
Well, supper's ready. I'll call the children.
Martha, notice anything new around the kitchen?
New? No, I can't say that. Joseph, a new kettle.
That's right, an iron kettle. Like it?
Joseph, it's wonderful. An iron kettle. Why, I'll be the envy of the whole village.
Not only the village, girl, but the whole country. Far as I know, this is the first iron kettle ever cast over here.
And you cast it yourself. Joseph Jenks, I always said that you're too good to be just an iron worker. You've got the head and the ideas to be a master craftsman.
Oh, that kettle's just the beginning. Wait till you see what I've got in mind. It's... But I'm too hungry to talk about it now.
Joseph, what's this I hear about a new implement you've made for harvesting your grain?
Just a moment, Samuel, and I'll tell you about it. There. Yes, it's true, Samuel. Only the implement I've made is not for the harvesting, but for the cutting of the grain.
For the cutting? Is it better than the implements we have now?
Well, I think so. But why don't you see it for yourself? I'm going to try it out tonight, soon after supper, so that I can get the benefit of the long evening. Come over.
Well, here I am, all agog about this new implement. Where is it, Joseph?
If you're not careful, it will bite you, Samuel. Look to your right.
A scythe. At least it looks like a scythe, but far different from any I've ever seen. Made of iron instead of wood.
Aye. Notice the thin cutting edge. Cuts the grain cleaner and faster than the old one.
I'll wager it does. That long blade and the rigid back will make short work of grain cutting. And here's something new. This long bent handle.
The snathe, you mean? I've added something to that, I think, that should take the back break or part of it out of cutting grain.
Come out to the field, Joseph. I must try this new scythe and If it's as good a workman as it looks to be, I'm going to draw on our long friendship and ask you to make me one.
Gladly, Samuel, gladly. But come out to the field and try it for yourself.
Joseph, my friend, this scythe you have made is, without doubt, the finest this new world has ever seen. But tell me, Joseph, aren't you afraid someone else, some unscrupulous person, might not steal your invention and call it his own?
No. We are too few here in this wilderness. What good would it do him? Besides, I have an even greater idea to worry about, a much bigger undertaking.
Yes, Joseph Jenks, pioneer iron worker of 300 years ago, had a much bigger undertaking on his mind. A man of foresight and resourcefulness, he saw the need for making life a little easier for his fellow man and evolved a way to fill that need. It was some little time later that Joseph, his wife Martha, and their friend Samuel sat around the table in their rough log cabin.
So this is what you've been working on night after night and day after day. But what is it?
It's a design of some kind, but what? I'm not sure. This, I know, here in the center of the parchment is a wheel.
That's right, it is.
It could be a pattern of ironwork for decoration. But who in this wilderness has need for such fancy work? I give up, Joseph. What is it?
It's a new kind of sawmill. A water power sawmill, to be exact.
A water power sawmill, but...
Now, Samuel... You can't say we have no need for tools that will make our work here easier and faster. Here, I'll show you how it works.
Looks terribly complicated.
Oh, but it isn't complicated at all, Martha. And the principle on which it works is as old as these hills. Though I must admit the idea of using water power to saw logs is somewhat new. An idea of my own.
This is the biggest idea of all, Joseph. Show us what it does.
The wheel is the central point of the sawmill. It operates as a water wheel. The water turns the wheel, which in turn operates the saw in a back and forth motion. And the saw does what it is supposed to do, saw the logs. Very simple.
But how do you know it will work?
I built a small model near a stream hidden in the woods. Even Martha didn't know about that.
With so many hostile Indians about?
There. The stream is well within the bounds of the settlement. Why don't we go over there and you can see my water power sawmill in action?
Lead the way, Joseph. Come, Martha.
Well, here's the stream. And there on the bank is my power sawmill.
Well, I never. It's so tiny.
But just watch the water carry the wheel around as well as if it were a real water wheel.
And now what? I'll put the saw in place, a small branch, and we'll see what happens.
Did you see that? How it cut the branch in two as neatly as I could do it by hand.
Oh, it's wonderful, Joseph.
Come, Joseph, place another branch to be sawn. I want to be sure that my eyes were not deceived the first time.
Joseph, I'm so proud of you, but...
But what, good wife?
Samuel and I were talking over your sawmill, and he agrees with me that you should protect your invention. How or where, I don't know, but for the children's sake.
I see. Yes, perhaps you're right, Martha. I'll apply to the general court for letters patent on my sawmill. I see no reason why they won't grant me such protection.
Of course not. After all, the General Court was set up as a body of representatives of the people. And we're the people, aren't we?
We are indeed. And John Winthrop, our governor, is a fair man, as is his son, young John.
Of course, being a woman, I know little of these things. But I do know that your inventions and your ideas should be protected against those who would be dishonest enough to steal them from you. Such a thing is only right and meet.
I seek no special privilege given as a favor by the king to those who please him.
We left England to come to these shores because of such unjustness.
Yes, you're right, Martha. I shall set about petitioning the general court at once.
Massachusetts, meeting four times a year to make laws and ordinances for the good of the freemen of the village of Lynn, is now in session on this, the sixth day of the third month in the year of our Lord, 1646.
Once again, gentlemen, we are happily met as a body of representatives to act for the welfare of the free men of this community of people. Let us, therefore, solemnly and in sober judgment, consider the problems which confront the court, working as a body in a spirit of harmony and justice. The first of these problems for our earnest consideration is one of safety. Measures which must be taken up. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried unanimously. And now we are come to...
May it please the court, I have a petition to make.
The court recognizes Joseph Jenks.
Sirs, I am here to petition that letters patent be granted me on my invention but recently completed.
What is this invention?
It is an engine using water power to saw logs, and which lightens the work of the sawing of timber and saves much time and labor. I have here the drawing of the engine for your inspection.
I have myself seen a small-scale model of this engine, and can therefore vouch for Joseph Jenks as the man who made it. And also of the fact that the idea is both sound and practical.
Your petition shall be given the General Court's earnest consideration, Joseph Jenks, after the drawing and the model of the sawmill have been duly inspected.
Martha, it's here. The General Court has granted my petition.
Joseph.
See? Here it is. The patent grant states very clearly, be it known. Here it is. The court, considering the necessity of raising such manufacturers of engines, of mills, to go by water, for speedy dispatch of much work with few hands, grant his petition, given this 23rd day of May, 1646.
Oh, Joseph, this makes me happy.
And it gives me the exclusive rights to my invention for 14 years. Think of it.
Thus was the first American patent granted. Then, as now, patents were granted to encourage invention. At the first session of Congress in 1790, the first patent law was enacted. In 1836, the United States Patent Office, as a separate branch of the government, was established. Later, the patent laws extended the time limit, giving an inventor the right to control his invention for a period of 17 years.
17 years? Then all you have to do is renew the patent, I guess.
That is a popular belief, but it isn't true. The fact is that a patent cannot be extended beyond 17 years except by a special act of Congress, something which never occurs. And that's the story of the first American patent as told by Dr. Phillips Thomas, research engineer of the Westinghouse Research Laboratory. Be sure to join us again next week for another interesting story by Dr. Thomas on Adventures in Research.